So the title of this message today is taken from verse 21 of Ephesians 5. For our visitors and guests, we have been working our way through this wonderful epistle, the Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians. And verse 21, it simply says, I say simply because it's a lot easier to read it than to do it. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It makes more sense if we read it in context, starting and backing up to verse 18, chapter 5, which we covered the previous week. We'll read again. The Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit, writes to the new believers in Ephesus and also to us today. Do not get drunk with wine, that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands, your own husbands, as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blameless. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Prepare our hearts to be challenged, to be changed, to be equipped, to be healed. Lord, we humbly come before you this morning as we read your word, as we allow your word to penetrate our hearts and our minds, and yes, some our defenses and walls that we have placed around us for protection. We invite your presence to be with us now through the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit and guide us into your word. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Shall I continue on? I'm going to continue on. Special welcome to our visitors that are with us on Labor Day weekend. We're privileged that you are balancing the boat. Some of our members are gone, so you're here in the boat now is a little more balanced. I'm Pastor Greg. I have the privilege of opening God's Word and sharing it with us by the grace of God. When I finished last week reading verse 21 that said, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, and I concluded the message with prayer, I spoke with a number of people after the service, and I was already seeing and hearing some reaction because of the word submitting. It's a scary word for some people. And for others, who read ahead to the verses about wives submitting, that too is a scary thing. Don't look at that back there. It's the best I can do. So our challenge today, I'm going to ask you, some of you are young Christians, some of you are newlyweds in marriage, entering into marriage, some of you have heard teachings on submission that has scared the pants off of you, and some of you have a reaction as soon as a minister mentions this word. Others do not. I get that. But I'm going to ask that you do the best you can not to disregard or toss aside past biblical teachings, but I'm going to ask you, by the grace of God, to continue to be a disciple of Christ and to hear God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to challenge you with truth, to change us, to equip us. If I say anything that is not in keeping with the Spirit of God, you have my permission to reject it. But if it is the word of truth, we need to wrestle with it because it's in God's word for us. It's basically two parts to this message. The first part that we're going to be looking at is to better understand the biblical term submitting, submit, submission. Rather than ripping it from the pages of our Bible or getting a Sharpie and blackening out the word or trying to find a better translation that doesn't use that word, we're dodging things that way. Rather, we need to understand the heart of God, the heart of the apostles, and what they were speaking. And why we need to hear this, why we need to bring these truths into our lives and into our church. With me so far? Most of us do not react when we read verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. When we get to verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands, that's where the reaction begins to take place. Like that. Where I get phone calls and emails, Pastor, you're not going there, are you? Yes, I'm going there because it's in God's word. And some things in God's word are uncomfortable for us and they test us. A few definitions for us, and you might do yourself well to write down some of these definitions on these terms and then to review them for yourself. The term subject, it's in the Bible. To be obedient, to submit to. To be obedient and to submit to. Submission, to yield to governance or authority. Submit. The Greek is hupotasso, to place or put under, to submit. Reverence. Profound respect and love. Reverential fear. The key here, what I read in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, is the apostle speaking to these new believers in Ephesus, and he's saying to them, instead of being drunk with wine and under the influence of that spirit, instead be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Be filled often. And then addressing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and also there, verse 21, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, learning how to submit to one another in the church out of reverence for Christ. We are called to learn how to submit to one another out of respect, courtesy, and reverence for Christ. Submission is in the Bible, whether we like it or not. We should like it. Examples of individuals and submission for your consideration. A child must learn to submit to his or her parents in time. God has given parents, some of you young parents I'm looking at, he has granted you this wonderful privilege to bring this new one into the world. And that child is dependent upon you and God for survival. That child must learn to submit to the experience, the knowledge, the authority of the parent, or there will be trouble in that family. A child submitting to their parents. Students must learn to submit to their teachers. I had a real struggle with that when I was in school. My father being a principal, my father being a superintendent, I had to learn to submit to teachers, or I found myself in trouble a lot. Sorry, Mom, again. As Christians, we learn by God's grace and being filled and controlled with the Spirit to submit. Christians learn to submit to government leaders. Pastor, what are you telling us to be doing? Don't you realize how bad things are? Yes, I realize how bad things are and how broken our government systems are, whether on the local level, on the state level, on the federal level, in the United States of America, or visiting other nations. I realize what a mess things are. Romans 13:1, let every person, Paul writes, under the influence of the Holy Spirit to the Christians in Rome, Italy, the church, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Why? For there is no authority except from God. Those that exist have been instituted by God. Let every Christian believer be subject, remember that word we've looked at, we're talking about now, to the governing authorities. When we rebel
and say no to governing authorities, we are, in essence, rejecting the authority that God has given us. We must be very careful. Christians must be, I believe, the most outstanding citizens in the country. And I've talked in the past about when it's appropriate to say no to governing authorities and yes to God. When there is a conflict between right and wrong and laws, just or unjust, we have an obligation first and foremost to obey our God. Amen? That's another thing. Example of individuals in submission, I think of in the military. Our son served, as many of you know, as a Marine. When he signed the dotted line, in a sense, he gave up his right to his life, and he gave himself over to the federal government for the next 4 years. And he had, as a private, to learn how to submit to his DI, his drill instructor. Sergeant Gunnery was his name, and all the other authorities above him. If he didn't learn how to submit to those authorities, he didn't stay long in boot camp in Parris Island or Camp Lejeune. And many were released and discharged. In the military, a person must learn to submit. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as individuals, men and women, young and old, male and female, who have surrendered our lives and accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we must learn to submit. It does not come natural for most of us. Would you agree? It does not come natural to most of us. And I believe, now as an older citizen, Christian, that especially for Americans, because we have been birthed into this independence, we are independent Americans. The culture also affects us in this way. But we as believers are called also to submit to local church leaders. Hebrews 13, verse 17 is one of many that indicates this. And again, this was the heartbeat of the apostles and what they taught in all of the churches. Obey your leaders, Christians. Submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. We as Christians are called to submit to one another, to learn how to do that. And as a unbeliever for my early years, I struggled with that big time, submitting to really anyone. It was only as a Christian that I have begun to learn submission and trusting God. It really comes down to this. It reflects whether we're submitted to Almighty Sovereign God. It reflects if we really trust Him to submit to other human beings. Submitting one to another kind of means this, if I can embarrass Judy a little bit. Judy Lynn is one of my favorites in our church. And yesterday we paid a visit with Ken and Leah. And I see, I drive out to Painesville and I see Judy walking down Mentor Avenue with a giant eagle birthday cake for Ken, you know, and I pick her up and drive her to the location, their gym, and we have a grand time together, singing and eating cake at 11 o'clock in the morning. But I, as a pastor, as a minister who's been here a long time, I see my need for my brothers and sisters in Christ, who you may view as lower than me, but I am to submit and be in relationship, proper relationship with my brothers and sisters. I am not better. I have a different calling and rank in the church. I see my need for my sister, and hopefully she sees her need for me as her pastor. We submit one to another. That's what makes for a healthy church. If I take the position that I'm better than you, I'm higher than you, you need me, but I don't need you, we're in trouble. The only way that we can fully understand and embrace submission is as Christians with renewed minds and by the grace of God. Being submitted first and foremost to our God. James, the epistle to James, chapter 4, verse 6b through verse 10, says this. He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, it's wise for us to learn to embrace and walk in humility. For some of us, it takes a lifetime, right? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Then verse 7, a punch verse, submit yourselves, therefore, to Almighty God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It starts here, you and I, in submission daily to Almighty God. Humbling ourselves, reminding ourselves, not my will, but your will be done. I am your servant. I am your son and daughter. I submit my life to you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So as I see it, as I study this out throughout the week, this week, on this term, part one of this message on submission, subjection, I see that we as Christians, if you're sitting here today as a believer in Christ, we're called to submit to God, right? It's in our Bible. We're called to submit to one another. We're called to submit to our local church leaders. This is difficult. And then we're going to be reading about even how the wives are called to submit to husbands. These are difficult things. Let's be honest. Let's be real. It is difficult to navigate this. I believe it's impossible apart from the grace of God in our lives. Apart from having a strong relationship with the living God. Now, some of you sitting here today are newly married. You still may be in that honeymoon stage. I don't know how long it lasts, but I could do some interviews with some of you that it lasts a few weeks, or until the first child comes, or you get into the daily routine of work and grind of life. I have, over 40 years of ministry, sat with many couples in my office and various places for premarital counseling to try to prepare them to make sure their eyes are open and what you're getting involved with the biblical concept of marriage. And we talk about submission. We talk about the husband loving their wives. And there's always gleeful nodding. We're ready, we're ready, we're ready. Most of us don't know what we're getting involved with marriage. If we're honest. Most of us don't know what we're getting involved with when we nod and say yes to Jesus. Then we realize there's suffering involved. We can't escape some of it. And sometimes there is suffering along with great joy and happiness and celebration in marriage. Most individuals do not understand the devastating effects of our sin nature that it has on relationships with others, especially in marriage. I'll repeat it again. Most individuals do not understand the devastating effects of our sin nature that we carry into relationships and marriage. It's more grace that we need to survive, not just survive, but to thrive and to reflect Jesus Christ in marriages. If I may, I'd like to read Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, the main portion of Scripture that we're considering today out of the Phillips translation, just to hear it from a different perspective, change of a few words and phrases. But keeping with the spirit of the text and what Paul was saying to the Ephesian believers. And I quote, "You wives must learn to adapt yourselves to your husbands as you submit yourselves to the Lord." That's a key phrase there, ladies. If you're thinking right now, I wish you would get done with this right away. "For the husband is the head of the wife, in the same way that Christ is the head of the church and Savior of the body. The willing subjection of the church to Christ should be reproduced in the submission of wives to their husbands." But remember, this means that the husband, men, you are not off the hook. I am not off the hook. Husbands must give his wife the same sort of love that Christ gave to the church when he sanctified himself for her. Christ gave himself to make her holy, having cleansed her through the baptism of his word, to make her an altogether glorious church in his eyes. She is to be free from spot, wrinkle, or any disfigurements, a church holy and perfect. Men ought to give their wives the love they naturally have for their own bodies. Men, let me break it down here a little bit. Most men in America want to feed their bodies, right? We want to take care of our bodies. We don't like pain on our bodies. Would you agree? Have you had pain in your bodies? We don't like that. We want to feed our bodies. We want to take care of our body. We want to cleanse our bodies from time to time. Maybe your wife doesn't think you cleanse your body enough, but you should cleanse your body. Men ought to give their wives the love they naturally have for their own bodies. The love a man gives his wife is the extending of his love for himself to enfold her. Nobody ever hates or neglects his own body. He feeds it and looks after it. And that is what Christ does for his body, the church. The marriage relationship is doubtless a great mystery, but Paul says, I am speaking of something deeper still than just marriage, the marriage of Christ and his church. In practice, what I have said amounts to this: let every one of you who is a husband love his wife as he loves himself, and let the wife reverence her husband. Phillips translation. It is easy early on, I believe, for many of us to live out the marriage union the first year or two. I believe it becomes very challenging when, as I've mentioned before, for couples that get married, and you get into the routines of life. Maybe you're blessed with a child or two, or in our case, seven, to feed them, to mow the lawn, to get up and go to work when you don't feel like it, and still then maintain a biblical marriage. It is not easy, as many of you know. We need God's grace. We need his mercy. We need his forgiveness. And we need to grow in grace year by year. But why is this so hard to understand and do? A few notes here that I've jotted down. We as believers are products, in my opinion, of our culture more than we realize. The influence of movies on romance, love, and what marriages are supposed to look like, social media, comparisons with celebrities on what they do to have successful marriages can cloud our vision. I was in a dentist's office not too long ago and rifling through a magazine, and it was talking about marriages of celebrities, specifically the many homosexual marriages, lesbian and otherwise, and how after a few years, each one of them has disintegrated and they too have divorced. And I realized that divorce of all different types of unions are a regular routine in our culture today, because most people do not know how to live by the grace of God. And we don't know how to submit to God and to one another. And we need his help, and we must learn to rely on him. Number two, we must now learn and reprogram our hearts, our minds, and our attitudes, allowing the Holy Spirit to heal past physical and emotional pains and abuses. I realize I've heard the stories. This has really become a drag to me. I'm so wired up, you won't be able to get this off me. I'll have to undress here. Okay. For many of us that have gone through serious hurts and pains through past marriages and dictator husbands who demand submission to ungodliness and ungodly desires, you must allow God's grace and mercy to heal you rather than reacting to God's word in a negative way. I believe Christian marriages are to be a picture of a healthy church. But we've got a problem. We've got a problem. There's not a whole lot of healthy marriages, and there's not a whole lot of healthy churches in our land today. That doesn't mean it can't change. It means that we need to be fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Verse 22, let's focus in on these few verses here, specifically with the wives in mind. I'm not going to be saying, I don't think I'm saying anything new to us, but in the context of biblical submission, it should be opening our hearts and minds and making sure that we are submitting our lives first and foremost to God. Because if we do not do that continuously, we're not going to, women, be able to submit to your fallen husband who has flaws and a sin nature. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Here's the key. And if you are allowed to write in your Bibles and circle it, as I do, these next few words, as to the Lord. That's key. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. When you forget that part of the equation, it becomes a mess in your marriage, and you start looking for ways out. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Here's why, Paul says. Not me, but Paul and the apostles' teaching. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. It's in our Bibles. It would be wrong for us to try to find a super new translation in the Bible that says something differently. You and I should be after the heart of God. What is He wanting the church to know and do? Specifically, wives, what is He wanting you to know and do? Is it hard? Yes. Is it possible by God's grace? Yes, it is, or it wouldn't be given to God's children. You with me so far? So don't be mad at me. I'm simply reading and trying to give us context for how we do this. And for those that are single here, I'm not saying this so that I scare you off never to consider marriage. Marriage is a good thing. Because it's from God. It's just that we have made it very difficult because of the sin nature that we've inherited and we carry in to the marriage. And once that honeymoon period is over in that marriage, we must rely upon the grace of God and learn how to put into practice this. Verse 25 and following, for us men folk that call themselves husbands, I have come to the conclusion that we are not off the hook here at all, that we cannot afford to say to our sweetheart, honey, just stick with verse 22 through 24. I'll take care of everything else. Husbands, we must learn what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Take some time and think about that. Christ sacrificially gave himself up for the church, for sinners like you and I. Sacrificial love. I'm not saying that we shouldn't say, I love you, dear, in the morning and the afternoon and evening. But we need to understand that love is a verb. It is action. It is sacrificial giving, serving. In the good times and in the troubling times and the hard times. And most of us are not real good at that, as is reflected by the research of marriages failed in our day and age. What to do when the honeymoon period is over in a marriage? And you may take issue with that, but I do believe there is an element of truth to that. When reality hits, the routines of life, the routines of work, of having to provide for your family, it hit me like a ton of bricks when we were living in our little bungalow in East Lake North, and we had our first child and then our second and third child in that little home. And I was a factory worker for a few years at $4.24 an hour. And then I was an excavator for a few years at $180 a week. And that was salary so that he could work my tail off for as many hours as he wanted. And Karen was a stay-at-home mom, and we were trying to make ends meet. Reality set in of what marriage and family life is all about. We could not run to mom and dad for help. This was a new life that he had given us. I always am in the habit of encouraging couples who I have been involved with in their marriage, premarital counseling, young ones and older ones, that when they hit rough waters and the honeymoon period is over, I oftentimes will go back and have them pull out their vows and read their vows out loud to one another to remind them of the vows they made to God and to one another, for better or for worse. Rather than running and quitting, God has called us to tap deeper into His grace and learn how to submit to one another. Our God is a God of order and not chaos. God is a God of order, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. And I believe there's a divine order, a God's divine order to the marriage relationship. And I want to conclude with these verses, and you may want to jot them down and read them on your own. God's divine order for husbands and wives. And when we get outside of God's divine order, that's when there is chaos, confusion, and broken relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, verse 3 of chapter 11, he says this: I want you, church, Christians, believers, to understand this. The head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. Divine order. Keep that phrase in mind. Same chapter, verses 8 and 9. For the man was not made from woman, writes Paul, but the woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, etc. So Paul is laying out the divine order of things to these young Christians in Corinth. Why? Because they were struggling with some of the same issues we struggle with in the church and in relationships. Second First Timothy chapter 2. If you thought 1 Corinthians was challenging to read and to embrace, listen to this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. Here's why. He writes, and again, I'm just reading, I'm just the messenger boy. For Adam was formed first. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, which I have highlighted here. We're not going to turn to it. Genesis 2, verses 7 and 18. For Adam was formed first by who? By Almighty Sovereign God. All right? And then Eve was formed. Adam was not deceived, Paul writes, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Meaning, as we go back to Genesis, we see that Eve sinned first and then Adam sinned after. Paul's bringing this up to illustrate the divine order of things and headship in the church, whether we like it or not. With me so far? And then 1 Peter chapter 3. I have come to understand this over the years that we do ourselves a great injustice as Christians if we try to look through the Bible to support our opinions and our theories and our wills. We need to understand this is the heart of God. This was the apostolic teachings to the church at that time and for our time today. We should not be looking for other scripture verses to support what we want. You tracking with me? That's not being true to God and true to the Word. So here is the Apostle Peter, who was a married man and who experienced the same struggles that you and I go through. I'm pretty sure. He writes in chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, wives, be, here's that word, that dirty word, be subject to your own husbands. So that if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Why is this important? Because the man is called to be the head in the family, the spiritual head. And sometimes they don't always do a good job. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be of the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. This is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Here, Peter is bringing up Sarah as an example of how she had to live with Abraham, calling him Lord, Master. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Abraham, by the way, was a sinner saved by the grace and mercy of God. Sarah was a sinner saved by the mercy and grace of God. And they had a marriage relationship, and there was probably give and take and friction, just like we have experienced in ours. Verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. God's divine order in marriage. Submission, humility, love, and grace are essential for a successful marriage. And as one who has endeavored at it with my wife for 45 plus years, it is, in my estimation, one of the most challenging things I've ever done in my life. And rewarding. I am grateful for my marriage. I'm grateful for my family. But really, what you put into it is what you get out. It is only by the grace of God. So what am I saying? I'm saying this, 5 points that we will finish with. Number one, believers are commanded to love and submit to God. If you don't want to do that, I believe you're in trouble. It starts there. If we're not able to love and submit to God, we're not going to be able to do it very well to one another. Number two, believers are called to submit to one another in the church. That may be hard too. Wives are called to lovingly submit to their husbands. That will be difficult. Number four, husbands are called to love their wives sacrificially as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for us. Yeah, you may think, well, of course Christ would want to save me. Look what I can offer. What can I bring to him? Of course he would want to save me. But he saves us not because of our good and our potential. He saved us in our sins and our mess. He has patiently endured with us in our sin and our rebellion as he changes us. Husbands are called to love their wives sacrificially like Christ loved the church. And number five, the church is to submit to Christ and his teachings. This is impossible for us to do apart from his grace and mercy. This teaching is not, I do not believe it is not a teaching that is accepted widely in the church and in our culture today. It goes against the grain. But I believe it's biblical. It's what the apostles taught the early apostolic church. It's what we now are to embrace by the grace of God. Would you please join me as we close? Are you okay? Are you in shock? Well, you're not going to tell me right now, but maybe later. Are you angry with me? Are you angry with God? Did you think when you said yes to Jesus that it might be a little bit easier? I did. I thought things were going to just kind of be a cakewalk. I thought by leaving my life of sin, this would be much easier. But sometimes I find that the Christian way, the Christian marriage, the Christian life is more challenging. We need his help. And I just encourage you, be a regular on your knees, on your face before God, crying out to him for help, and he will answer. He will answer you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you today, again and again, for giving us your words of truth, your words of grace, for giving us a high bar to jump over, in a sense. We can only do it by your grace and mercy. We need you, Lord. We need your word. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us afresh each day. to help us, enable us to submit to you, to submit to one another out of reverence for you. Help the Church of Jesus Christ at this day and age to reflect the grace of God, even in our marriages, to a watching world. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who saved us. Amen.